Our first scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. Revelation 4. It's appropriate that we read these words as we will be considering hallowing God's holy name. And we have in this vision a scene in heaven where that is exactly what creation is doing, as well as God's people. From verse 8, "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, all full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.' And when the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives for ever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honour and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created.'" Would you also turn then, please, to Psalm 34. And I'll read verses 1 to 3. That's the text for the sermon. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3. After that, I'll read from Lord's Day 47 in the Heidelberg Catechism. The heading here, the introduction, depicts this as a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech. And then we read the verses themselves. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And then from the Heidelberg, Lord's Day 47. In the section of the Catechism that deals with the Lord's Prayer, question 122, what does the first request mean? "Hallowed be thy name" means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honoured and praised. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us to be more and more convinced of the truth and reliability of your word, so that more and more we put our trust in what it promises and our commitment in heeding your commandments. Enable us also to be more and more convinced of your faithfulness and the efficacy of what your Son has done for us as promised in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Covenant people of God, as I mentioned, we're dealing with a part of the Heidelberg that covers the Lord's Prayer, and we are on the first request, Hallowed be thy name. And just to explain the language that's used here, as we have perhaps considered that before, but as a reminder, to hallow means to honour as holy. In other words, to praise God for his holiness and for all that means. So what does God's holiness mean? Well, his holiness is his absolute uniqueness as the one and only true and living God, a uniqueness that applies to all of his attributes, all that he is, as well as having reference this term holiness to his perfect moral goodness. We are hallowing his name. So what does his name mean? Well, his name stands for all that he is and all that he does. Again, his attributes, but also his works. And therefore, to hallow God's name means essentially to praise him for who he is and for what he has done. So you could then see this sermon as a sermon that is in praise of praise, because that's what we will be focusing, what it means to praise God. You might recall that we have, not that long ago, we looked at the different aspects of prayer to God and the richness of that. But today, this afternoon, we're going to be focusing on the praise aspect of our prayers and our lives to see more of the things that are involved in that and the richness of that. Because the tendency is perhaps that we think of praising God as simply a matter of saying, we praise God for this or we praise God for that, and then you leave it at that. You maybe have a short list of things that you want to praise God for, the attributes that you think of more easily or quickly, and we perhaps have a portion of our prayers at home. We certainly do in our congregational prayers where we pray in that way. We praise God for this attribute or work or for that one. But if you look at it in that way, and if you reduce praise of God to that, then perhaps you may wonder at times how it will be that we should spend eternity doing that, praising God, and not run out of things to say, and perhaps even be bored with it due to the repetitiveness of praying for the same, praising God for the same few things. Well, there are several reasons why that would not be a worthy thought. One of those reasons is that there is much more to praising God than simply saying, we praise you for this or that. And so I want to explore some of those aspects of the richness of what it means to praise, to hallow God's name. And I want to do that under two headings. First of all, what it means to hallow God's name, and then secondly, those who are called to hallow God's name. So what it means to do this, to give that hallowing, and something about those who offer that praise to God. In the first place, I want to draw to your attention the different words for praise that are used in Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3. There are several of those words. There is the word bless. We bless God. That's a praise word in verse 1a. And then there's the word translated praise itself in verse 1b. And the word boast in verse 2a. And those two words, praise and boast, are actually different forms of the same Hebrew word. And it's the word that we get our English word hallelujah from. So this is the hallelujah word, which is formed simply by taking the Hebrew letters and turning them, replacing them with English equivalents, and you come out with the word hallelujah, more or less. There is then also the word magnify in verse 3a and the word exalt in verse 3. You can see what a praise psalm this is in these first few verses. There's a whole stack of words here, and even the word rejoice in verse 2b is closely related to that idea of giving praise to God. And you see, each of these words has its own shade of meaning. In English, we often use synonyms when we are talking, words that mean more or less the same thing. And we use sometimes different words for the same thing, just in order to give a bit of a variety in the way we're expressing ourselves, because it sounds better if we vary it a little bit. And Scripture does that too, especially in poetry, such as the Book of Psalms. But with Scripture, unlike your speech or mine, every single word is inspired. And not only the word as a whole, but even the forms of those words, even the word endings and the tenses. And therefore, the shades of meaning of each of these different words is specifically inspired, and that makes it significant. So let's just run through those words and see some of those different shades of meaning. The word bless, first of all, when you bless God's name, when you bless Him, you are essentially recognizing His power to bless you, His power to give you life, His power to give you prosperity, His power to give you success, His power to give you salvation. In other words, you're recognizing when you bless God that He is the source of all blessing, in whatever form of blessing it is that you receive. I mentioned the word praise in verse 1b, the one that's translated as praise. And this is a word that means to be sincerely and deeply thankful and even joyful and satisfied with God's attributes and works. Satisfied with their superiority and the fullness of His person and works. And since this praise should be given to no one else, certainly not to us, the godly may be said to boast in God's superiority. The idea there being when you boast in God, you know what you're doing when you boast in yourself. You're comparing yourself with others and saying, I'm better, I'm greater. Boasting in God is when we say, compared to all others, all other creatures and all men, and all supernatural forces, God is greater, infinitely greater. He is superior. To magnify God means to set great value on His attributes and works and to declare the greatness of them, to promote His name. And lastly, to exalt in God means to cause His name to be raised up, to be lifted up on high. Well, that's only a sample of the praise words that you find in the Bible. It's a good sample, but there are others. And if you wanted to do a thorough study of that, you could, and you would find that there are other words with other shades of meaning, but these are the ones that are before us today. And they give us some sense of what it is that we are looking at here when we're called to praise God. And if I can sum that up, praising God means recognizing that God is infinitely greater than anything or anyone else in all of His attributes, in His attributes collectively and each one singly, as demonstrated in all of His works where those attributes shine through. Recognizing also that this is the reason why He alone is the source of all blessing and that all the blessings we have come from Him. And then rejoicing in that truth and being thankful for it. And finally, telling others about it so that others in the church, as we sit here and as we hear the whole congregation praising God, that we are caught up in that as we talk with each other during the week or after the service. We encourage each other to praise God. And as we talk to unbelievers about our God, what we are saying to them is also encouraging them to praise God and calling on them to do so. That's what it means in a brief summary from these words to praise God. And question 122 has some of that emphasis. It stresses that these elements of praise are to be applied to all of God's attributes, and then it mentions some of them: His power, His wisdom, His kindness, His justice, His mercy and truth. But we need to remember that that is only the short list. And if you look up theology books, Birkhoff, those kind of books, or the Belgic Confession, you will find lists of those attributes. And even they are not complete. They're bigger than this one, but even they are not complete. You read many of those books and you have a very, very long list of the attributes of God. And then there are his works which reflect those attributes. And that's also mentioned in question 122. But then question 122 makes the additional point that you need to know God in order to praise God in this way. So when we pray that God's name will be hallowed, we are implicitly asking that God will first enable us to have a true and a personal and a saving knowledge of God, so that we can do all of that praising in all of its aspects, we can do it sincerely. The Catechism also points out that praising God in all of the above respects is far, far more than simply speaking words of praise. Remember that particular praise word, the hallelujah word. The word that means a sincere and deep and thankful response on our part. And if we don't have that, if we don't have that hallelujah word operating in our hearts and in our lives, if it's just a word that comes out of our mouths, if that's the case, then our praise of God is nothing but hypocrisy. And if we do have that word operating within us, then it is going to affect everything. It's going to affect everything we think and say and do our whole lives. The same is true if you want to magnify, if you want to exalt God, to enlarge his name, to show something of how great it is, and to lift it up so that you and others will praise him. If you want to do that, then you won't want to be thinking or saying or doing anything blasphemous or anything that may give occasion to or cause others to blaspheme his name. So when we pray this prayer, we are also asking for a life of praise, not just for lips that praise him, but for a life of praise, for a life that encourages and evokes praise of God in other people rather than blasphemy. So you think about your life, think about your witness to your unbelieving relatives or to unbelieving neighbours or workmates, and then ask what reaction are you likely to encourage by your behaviour. Are you encouraging praise or blasphemy? That's a good question for us to ask ourselves. Psalm 34 verse 1 also points out that this praise should be at all times, continually, which again means that it has to be an all of life thing. If something is embedded in your life, it's there all the time. If it's something that simply comes out of your mouth occasionally, that's a different matter. In this life, it isn't possible to praise with the mouth continuously. We have to eat. It's hard to have words coming out of your mouth sensibly when you've got food stuffed in your face, but it's also when you're asleep, it's a little bit difficult to be coming out with that praise outwardly when you're asleep. But if you have that inner attitude of praise all the time, then the praise is there, and then it will continually tend to erupt in outward words of praise at various appropriate times. It is this Christian living then that gives rise to the praise of God in other respects, including what we say with our mouths. That kind of continuous praise is a foretaste of the continuous praise of heaven. And I'm quite convinced that praising God in heaven will never for a second be boring. And it really, strictly speaking, it should not bore us now. And I hope you can see something from the variety of reasons for praise in God's attributes and works and blessings, and also from the variety of aspects of praise, why this is so. Take the number of God's attributes, a list far longer than Lord's Day 47 gives. Add to that the number of God's works, his creation, his providence, his salvation, the making of covenants, the creation of the church and of his kingdom, coming judgment at the end of time, each of which in turn has many, many subsections, and then multiply that by these different aspects of what it means to praise God, to focus on the greatness of God in each and every one of those areas, to focus on his blessings, the many, many blessings that come out of these other truths and that come to us because of those things, and the thankfulness and the joy that comes from these things, and to pray also that others may see this same truth about God and that they may give praise to him, both elect men and angels may give praise to God, and keep in mind on top of that, that every single one of these attributes and every one of these works of God is infinitely deep and great, so that there will always be more to learn, more depth and more detail to learn in heaven, and to do so unto eternity. Because God is infinitely great and the depths are infinite with each one of these things. And I hope then you can see that we will never run out of fresh praise for God or get bored with it. But of course then boredom is something that comes from lack of contentment, lack of satisfaction, and that involves sin. And there will be no sin left in us in heaven. We will not be able to be bored. These dimensions of praise also imply that we have more than enough to pray about in this life already as we seek to hallow his name. But that's only if we take the trouble to learn about our God and to count our blessings. And if we don't do that, we may find it difficult to come with fresh praise each day. Well, the text gives us some other information about those who are called to hallow God's name. Second and final point. The first thing is implied in the actual heading of this point, that we are indeed called to praise God, even called to boast in his name. In other words, it is not an option when the one who is so great tells us that we should be busy praising him. And that is not a false or an ungodly pride or egotism on his part, if he were even capable of such things. He is infinitely great and he does deserve all our praise. And accepting, it's what he calls on us to do, is simply to accept and to delight in the truth, the reality of who God is and what he has done. Sinful men are the ones who are in danger of pride and of egotism and of trying to be or trying to be recognized as more than we are. But that is not possible for God, to be recognized as more than he is, because he is infinite in all that he is. At any rate, the imperative of praise is seen in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. That kind of let it be language in grammar is a kind of command. If you want the technical term, it's sometimes called a jussive. And the imperative is also seen in this Psalm 34, verse 3, where it is put in the form of an imperative, a command. Magnify the Lord. We're commanded to do that. It's put as an exhortation. Let us exalt his name together. And even the force of the future tense, his praise shall be in my mouth, even that approaches that of an imperative. We ought to be praising God, and we ought to be doing that in all our circumstances, not an option. But that is not the ought of bare obedience to an order. This is something that should be done out of a deep desire to do it, that we want to do this. And the hallelujah word implies just that deep, personal satisfaction in who God is that drives us to praise Him, because He has created that desire within us. Note how question 122 expresses this, that hallowed be thy name implies that we are praying that God will help us to direct all our living so that His name will be always honoured and praised because of us. And the explanation of that doesn't say that when we pray, hallowed be thy name, that what we're really doing is asking God to direct all our living so that He is praised, as if God somehow has to force that living and force that praise out of us. No, it's put in this form, help us to direct all our living, so that the help comes from God, but it comes the direction of our living is also something that comes out of our heart, something genuine and something deep, that deep desire to see God praised. A second point, observation that is made about this, about those who are hallowing God's name, we are called to this exercise both individually and corporately. Individually, I will bless. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. And then corporately, magnify the Lord, which in the original language is a plural command, a command addressed to a group. Magnify the Lord with me, also implies others, and let us exalt His name together. You see the individual and the corporate. We desire others to join with us in lifting up God's name because we believe that everybody in the world should be doing so, and that God deserves that all should give Him praise. In fact, that the whole of creation should do so. Not only is this what God deserves, it also benefits our neighbour and especially our brethren. It gives joy to God's people, especially the corporate praise, or if they hear you praising individually. It gives joy to your brethren. It gives thankfulness in their hearts. It creates satisfaction in their hearts, and it gives encouragement to them. And that's, again, the implication of that hallelujah word. When we jointly say hallelujah to God together in prayer and in song. And if we care about each other, as we should, congregational praise should therefore be a priority along with our individual praise. And this is another reason why absenting yourself unnecessarily from congregational life and worship, from the two weekly services, this raises big questions about one's priorities and one's motives. Another reason why this together is so important, and this is something that I addressed a little bit previously as we went through lockdown, in explaining some of the differences between session-assisted family or private worship, the difference between that and the assembly of God's people when we are actually physically gathered together. Because there's something special that is going on in corporate worship when we are gathered together. And it's not that family worship is any less worship. And it's not that there's no value in all the families following the same thing with an online service from their homes. But God, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling of His Spirit in the congregation, is pleased when we assemble and when we lift our voices together in the loud praises of our God with one voice, so to speak. And again, it's not that our unity in Christ vanishes with online services, but the expression of it is fuller when all the voices are gathered in one place and we offer that praise simultaneously and we hear the throng and the neighbours around here hear the throng and the voices of it as well. And maybe you've sensed some of that when our congregational worship resumed, when you'd been away from that for a time and you come back and the singing seems to be even better. It seems to be a little bit louder and a little bit more enthusiastic. And you get some sense of what you've missed. And I dare say we will sense that even more when all of the elect of all ages are thundering out the praises of our God in the heavenly congregation, the heavenly assembly, with all of God's elect and his elect angels as well. And you get a sense of that in Psalm 35, verse 18. I will give thanks to you in the great congregation, and I will praise you among the mighty throng. Third observation about those who are called to hallow God's name, they are the humble. The humble will hear it and rejoice, verse 2. The word humble is a word that means a very important word throughout the Old Testament, and also comes up again in the Beatitudes. The humble, it's a word that refers to those who realize in their sin and their misery, the sin and misery of this world, that God alone is their ultimate help and they themselves are helpless. You see, you cannot bless God properly if you don't first realize that you cannot bless yourself. And you cannot praise God or boast in him if you are satisfied with yourself and intent upon boasting in yourself. And you cannot exalt God's name if you think you yourself are high and mighty. And you can't magnify his name if you set too great a value on your own name. You know what the word magnify means. You look at something with a magnifying glass, or you look under a microscope, or you zoom in on Google Maps to try and make it larger. And believe me, I have tried to do that, to see how much I could enlarge things just out of interest on Google Maps, or with microscopes. I've done that before too, looking at rocks under microscopes in my geology days and taking it up to the maximum magnification to see what it all looked like. But there are limits to such things. There are limits to Google Maps and to microscopes. With God, however, there are no limits. There are no limits to his greatness. There are no limits to his greatness in even if you just take one of his attributes or one of his works. There is no limit in any of those areas. And there is therefore no limit to the praise that he deserves. And you could magnify the name of God. You could enlarge your praise of God 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times, and you still would be offering him far less than he deserves. The limitation is on us because of our finite ability to understand and our finite ability to express his infinite grace and greatness, and also in this world, our limitation is because of our sin. And knowing that should make us humble. In heaven, of course, there will be no more sin to get in the way. And our humility will be perfected in the next life. And we will also have unlimited time to zoom in and to enlarge our understanding and to express that in more and more praise. Though we will always, even unto eternity, we will always remain limited creatures in ourselves. We will be only creatures and not God. For now, though, we make a small start in that as we apply ourselves to learning about the Lord from his word, learning about his person, his attributes, learning about his works, learning about the blessings that he has given to us. We do that with his word and with the help of his spirit. And we begin to learn that the well from which we draw our praise is infinitely deep. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we admit that sometimes we struggle to think of praise points, or we move quickly from praising you to our requests for help. Father, will you help us to dwell more on you than on our own needs and wants? Help us to give you more praise. Father, help us to learn more of your attributes and your works, the infinite depth of these truths, to enrich our praise of your holy name, and help us to look forward to the greater learning that we will have of those things when we come before you face to face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we declare God's holiness and praise him for it. Hymn number 318. We'll stand to sing, and would you please remain standing for the blessing and doxology. 318. After the blessing is our doxology, we sing number 280 from the Psalter Hymnal, verses 1 and 3. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.